B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Good afternoon, everybody. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. 610-632-0975 is the number to participate at the end of this emotional week in this country. The word of the day, as I always start with, is help. Obviously, yesterday at the start of the show, I didn't talk about it because the people didn't really want to talk about it yesterday. This is a sports station after all. The death of George Floyd. And I talked about people ask me what people that don't look like me, what they can do to help. And I laid out my opinion yesterday. Well, now it is a sports situation at this topic because the most prominent Philadelphia sports athlete and the arguably the best Philadelphia sports athlete as far as achievement, both Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz both felt the need to go outside of the sports realm. They did not stick to sports and decided to do their part to help the black community by laying out their thoughts. And they both, I thought, were honest. I thought they were thoughtful. But I know that this type of thing, I know, can make people uncomfortable. And that's why I'm trying to choose my words very carefully. I didn't want to write down a script. I try to be careful with this. So we saw the riots that were happening overnight. We saw a journalist get arrested, all of those things. And most people at this point have seen the video. And you would have to be pretty cold-hearted, stone-hearted to not be moved by what you've seen. I did not sleep well last night. I fall asleep. I wake up. I see the riots. I see the tweets and all those kind of things. And I was affected by it. It bothered me. I couldn't get back to sleep. I slept, I don't know, four. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying I slept like 4 hours. I couldn't wrap my mind around what was going on. And I see Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz. They step up and they speak out. And that's now led to other people who don't look like me, Joe Burrow, and different people across the country trying to do their part to help this divide that is very uncomfortable. And I understand. And I understand that this station is an escape. And I will do my best today to provide an escape. But I feel like it would be inappropriate to not bring up the fact that these two Philadelphia athletes who, this is different. If Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris or when Malcolm Jenkins was here, when they spoke out on such things, it was different because they're the people who, in their opinion, I know there's some people that don't believe that any of this stuff is real, that are directly affected by it, just like I am. But what it takes to go forward, if we're going to raise this conversation and make it to where we don't have to be uncomfortable because we all can kind of be on the same side here, it's for people who are different to speak on it and try to help. But I know a lot of people out there in the past, when any issue like this comes up, and I understand it's uncomfortable, they want the athlete to stick to sports. So that's my question today. Carson Wentz, Zach Ertz, they speak out. We're all aware of what's happened in the world. We know there are not games. Therefore, there is no mini camp to distract these guys from this situation. They also know that their league that they play in is 70% black. The guys in the locker room. And this also, we've also noticed that Carson Wentz and Ertz have been very good people in the community before this. And they've been very good to their teammates. You've noticed Alshon has snitched on Carson. Carson hasn't said word one about Alshon. And now he's following and he's had the good deeds. And now he's following up. To me, this is another step in his development as a leader. The fact that he's taking a side, that he felt comfortable or felt the obligation to speak out. That is leadership. So while this isn't a sports situation for Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz, it absolutely is them leading because there's not a single way that a black person in that locker room, and obviously there are many, would not be moved by the fact that their quarterback, their leader, wants to help them be safe, wants to help them make it home safe at the end of each day. And I think it would be malpractice to not at least open a forum for people if they want to discuss something like this. 610-632-0975. Help. They're choosing to help. I'll get to Natalie and Andrew in just 1 second. Also, 10-year anniversary today of the Roy Halladay perfect game. There'll be an E60 later on his life. And it's about how he dealt with a lot of addiction that we did not know about when he was here in his life. Dealt with a lot of depression that we did not know about when he was here. Went to rehab and got help. But he got help for his chemical dependencies. But it seems like he did not get help for the issues that were causing the chemical dependencies, if that makes sense. He was addicted to painkillers. I mean, his wife is very open about this. I am going to watch it later because I think it can help people. I think that people that are going through things should watch it. But there was some embarrassment, his wife mentions, because he thought it would make him look weak if he had to admit, if people found out that he needed help. And I think that what we should do as a society, sports and otherwise, is going in the right direction, but we need to remove the stigma of needing help. There is nothing wrong with needing help. It's, in fact, it takes more strength to admit that you have a problem and get help than the alternative, in my opinion. It takes a lot of strength to admit a fault, to admit that you have a problem. But they say Roy Halladay in his life apparently never felt, even though Hall of Fame pitcher, wife, kids, successful life, no one, I think, would decide that he was weak in any way. But he had something in him, for whatever reason, that made him feel like he was weak if he admitted that he needed help. 610-632-0975. Theme of the day, help. Andrew. Wentz, Ertz, they speak out, obviously. What was your reaction I'm asking this, and there's no wrong, right or wrong answer here. As a young white guy in Philadelphia, how did you react to him speaking out?
It was one of the things that came to my mind was almost like, thank you. Because me, as a white man who graduated with, I don't think even 10 black students in my high school, right? Like, I came from a very 99.5% white neighborhood growing up. And, you know, you get integrated when you go to Temple. I'm living in North Philly. I play in Sunday baseball leagues where there's black people who play. There's white people. There's Hispanic. There's Dominican. There's Asian. Like, there's a bunch of people, different people that play in my league. But still, from where I grow up, it was primarily white. And when I see Carson Wentz put out that kind of tweet, it's like, all right, somebody said what I'm feeling. Because to take you into my personal life, my wife and I at dinner yesterday were sitting and talking about it. And we were like, we don't know what to say. Like, we really don't know what to say. We want to help any way we can, but we don't know what to say. And Carson kind of used the words that we were thinking, like, what can we do as a person who has never felt that kind of problem? Who has never felt, like, I was a kid, I got to walk outside and play basketball by myself, right? Like, I didn't have to worry about anything like that. So, me as a white man, thank you to Carson for sort of opening up my mind. Like, I can help. I just need to ask. And I can't be afraid to ask. I can't be afraid to call you, right, Ty, and say, hey, what can I do? Like, I can't be afraid to do that. This is big. And this is now, it's getting worse. And it's just such a weird time right now. And it's like, you know what? I'm glad that a very prominent white figure in this city, in Carson Wentz and in Zach Ertz, opened it up. Because there are people like me who are like, I want to help, but I don't know what to do. I don't.
Right. No, I understand.
And I'm glad.
I appreciate your words. Natalie.
Yeah.
Obviously, you and I are friends.
Yeah.
I'm saying, not that Andrew and I are. You and I hang out a little bit more than Andrew, different shifts and all that kind of stuff. So I know you care about me. Like, I know for a fact you care. So what goes through your mind when Carson Wentz speaks out like this? And again, I want to have a dialogue.
Yeah.
I don't want to make people feel bad. And I know that people are uncomfortable, but I can't ignore what the quarterback said. I can't. So how did you feel,
Natalie? I saw it and I was just, like Andrew said, I was so thankful because I think you know, and Ty, like you said, we're friends and we talk about this stuff a lot.
Right.
You know,
right.
personally right. and professionally.
Right.
It's something that it kind of is a theme of our friendship and our, you know, relationship as coworkers too.
Right.
You know, we address these kind of topics head on. I've been following, you know, the social injustice for a very long time. I've personally been very passionate about it. I've been outspoken about it, you know, on my Twitter. When these things come up and we get to address them in sports, I kind of always put my feelings out there for it. So to just see that it's now at this level where we can't not deal with it anymore. There's nobody who is immune to facing this situation right now. So whether or not you want to deal with it or you want to talk about it or you want to face it, we all now have to learn how to handle it. And like you said, to help to make it better. So I just thought to myself, yes, thank you. Because this is going to open the door for so many other people, like Andrew said, to be like, you know what? I need to know what to do to make a difference so people stop dying. That's what this is. No, everyone is sick of innocent people being murdered ruthlessly on the streets of the United States of America. We're sick of it. And it's finally, let's talk about it.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And thank you, Carson.
Thank you, Carson. I say that on Twitter. Thank you, Carson. 610-632-0975. So the theme is help. Roy Holiday, 10-year anniversary of the perfect game. We'll talk about all of that. If you want to talk about Roy Holiday and just the baseball part, that's fine. But I would like to see if we can do a little bit better and elevate this conversation a little bit in a time like this when finally, however you want to look at it, and this isn't a knock on Carson Wentz when I say finally.
No,
in that
yeah.
I'm saying that it's now expanded beyond people that look like me talking about it. And now, thanks to Carson and Ertz, there, Joe Burrow, I mentioned, a bunch of people from all the sporting stations, people that don't look like me, that look more like Andrew and Natalie, like that room, are now talking about it. And I wonder for people if that will make you feel more comfortable talking about it, because now you feel maybe you're on a more even playing field in the conversation, because I don't want to talk at people. I want to talk to people. So, Holiday, this, we'll have our big thing, though. We'll talk to Mark Zumoff today, 3 o'clock, 83 finals. They're showing it on NBC Sports Philadelphia Reliving. And I know on the Anthony Gargano show, they recently did the playback of it. So, I'm looking forward to that. He does a bunch of, they're adding interviews. He talked to Doc and Bobby Jones. We'll get some more insight from him. Brian Westbrook from 4 to 5 today. So, let's try to have some fun. Let's be positive in a week that, if we're being honest, has been emotional for pretty much everybody. And it was a short week. We were off Monday.
I can't even believe that. Monday feels like a year ago.
It absolutely does. All right, 610-632-0975. Let's try to have fun. Let's try to elevate this conversation. And also, and you can be honest, and I'm not going to jump down anybody's throat, would you have preferred if Wentz and Ertz stuck to sports? 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. 610-632-0975. 2 o'clock hour. Brought to you by Ferguson HVAC Line, Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors. Visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. And there's a bit of an update in the whole George Floyd situation. The officer that was kneeling on his neck has now been, we can now say, murdered him, at least in the eye of the law, because he has been officially, he's in custody and has been charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter. So that what that means is basically it wasn't premeditated, but he killed him, and it wasn't just routine. That's what the Minneapolis police have, the state, the Minnesota State Police have decided. He is in custody and he has been charged. There is still apparently the other three officers that were on the scene may or may not be charged going forward. But the main one that was on the video that we all saw, he has now been charged with third degree murder and manslaughter. So that's where we're at. So when Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz are talking about it now, it's no longer. And these people, I understand they're innocent until proven guilty. I'm pretty sure we all agree on what happened out there at this point. All of us, 90% of us. They were speaking out because they saw a murder on video and it affected them. And yeah. I want to know, did it affect you? So 610-632-0975. Let's go to the phones. Andy in Delaware. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Hey, Ty, Nat, Andrew. Good to talk to you.
What's going on, man?
I think this topic today with about Carson and Zach Ertz, speaking up to this, kind of ties into your conversation of the Michael Jordan thing, where, you know, should right. a black man have spoken up against racism?
Right.
But I think it's important for high profile white athletes or famous white people to speak up against this. And I have a past that makes me, I grew up in the 60s. I'm 60 years old.
Uh-huh.
And in 1969, I grew up in North Wilmington.
Mm-hmm.
The only place you saw a black person was on television, basically.
Right.
And in 1969, it was 1 year after the race riots in Wilmington, 1968 race riots. And my father worked for DuPont, and he took a sabbatical for 1 year to teach and do research at Northwestern University. Our house that we rented was six blocks from the city of Chicago. So the elementary school I went to was 80 to 85% black students.
So that changed your perspective a lot, didn't it?
It was a culture shock, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing was, is the house we rented from these people, they had a black woman housekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the agreement was she kept her job. So, you know, she was there every day when I was there. I came right. home for lunch, she gave me lunch. But the school didn't have a lunch program. So a lot of the black students, kids in fifth grade, 10-year-old kids, didn't have a place. They didn't have lunch.
Wow.
So I started bringing them home to the house.
Look at you.
You know.
That's good for you, Andy.
Because we were within walking distance.
Right.
And, you know, I bring them home, and it was, I could see the smile. I don't remember the housekeeper's name. God bless her. But the smile on her face, like, look at this little white boy bringing these black kids home.
How about that, Eddie? And I really appreciate the call there. And again, it's not that everybody is responsible for our society if we want to live in this society together. So it's not like if something bad happens to Andrew, I shouldn't care. It's that, but I do think if something happens to Andrew, I know someone's going to care. And too often the feeling, if you're a black person, I'm just trying to be honest, is if something was to happen to me, it is far from a guarantee. I know them in that room individually would care. I know my wife would care. I'm saying when it comes to society as a whole, it is not up until this point been a given that people would care. And this is why I think the Carson Wentz step and the Zach Ertz step is how we have a better society, because then we really are all in this together. Because I believe if a Caucasian man was killed on the street, I believe those police officers would be arrested. That's my opinion. And quicker than this, but
yeah.
I'm glad. That's what I think. So that's where I'm at with that, just to be clear. But that was a great story.
Yeah.
That was a great story.
Yeah. And like you're saying, I mean, you're saying they'd be arrested, but they would be arrested without everything that has gone on in
there,
the last...
There would be no need to riot.
Correct.
To move things along quicker.
Yeah, to say, look, this is how unjust we feel this is. This is what we're doing right now to get the attention.
Right.
That's what it is.
Right. And also, I know that people will want me to... There's people on social media saying, you should call out rioting, blah, 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 blah. Later on, I will explain why I don't call out rioting as forcefully as people tell me to do. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to riot, but helpless people make helpless decisions. Joe in New Jersey. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Tyrone?
What's going on, Joe?
You know, it's great that Carson Wentz and other white athletes are stepping up to the plate and speaking out. I expected that from Carson. I mean, he's a good Christian guy, and I mean, that's him through and through.
Yeah, and is absolutely, he mentioned. Actually, you know, what's funny is, though, Carson is a very religious guy, but in this statement, a lot of this, he always is going to mention Jesus, but a lot of this came, it felt like it was coming from him and not the Bible, if that makes sense. This was a different tone from Carson Wentz than we usually do. And maybe that's part of the reason why it connected with so many people, not just here, but nationwide, and actually was basically a call to action for other people because he spoke different than he normally speaks.
Yeah, let me tell you how I connect with this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm 75 years old. I'm retired.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Trenton. As a matter of fact, I played on a little league team that was half black, half white. My little league coach.
Probably played with my father-in-law. He's around your age. He was growing up in Trenton playing little league at that same time.
Is that right?
Yeah, same age.
Did he happen to play in the Trenton Powell Little League?
Yeah, he played in the Trenton Powell Little League. Played football, baseball and basketball in the Pal.
What a small world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I played on the Pal Dodgers.
Oh, there you go. I'll find out. I'll have to look in the book. He's no longer with us, but I'll look through the book. We got the scrapbooks and stuff with the picture.
And my coach was a black coach by the name of Winnie Layton.
Oh, wow.
Who I loved. I mean, loved to the point, as my career went on, I went to law school, became a defense lawyer, municipal judge, and then the county prosecutor. And in my comments, I mentioned my little league coach as somebody who had a large impact on my life.
No, you know what, Joe? That's another awesome story about how somebody who didn't look like him had a positive effect on him, and it stuck with him. And that's why I think, as uncomfortable as it may be, we have to talk about these things because we do have more in common than we don't have in. We do. We have more in common than we don't. But it seems like we want to keep sometimes we want to keep these things secret. When it's this obvious, we just can't, I don't think. Philip in West Oak Lane, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes, sir. I'm 68 years old, black man. And I grew up in West Oak Lane, North Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Then moved to West Oak Lane. And although it wasn't a real culture shock for me because I could play sports.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as we was playing sports, I was okay with that. But I was a safety in North Philly. They didn't want me to be a safety when I came up to West Oak Lane. When I came up to West Oak Lane in 1961, the Civil Rights Movement hadn't been passed yet.
Right.
So you still had a right to be racist and prejudiced against me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I went through those kind of feelings. I appreciate what Carson Wentz said, but they live in a sheltered society. I don't live in a sheltered society.
Right, but what would Philip, I'm going to let you finish, Philip, but they came out as an ally for you and for me in their statements, and their actions have been nothing but noble when it comes to these type of situations. What would you prefer they do if you're not, he admitted in the statement, both of them admitted that they're sheltered from this thing, but they're trying to help. So what would you prefer if you think they're too sheltered to make these kind of statements? What would you prefer?
Well, it's nothing that I want to prefer that him do. It's more of what my politicians need to do. Because Carson Wentz, he has an obligation to do what he does. And there's not much he can do except for what he said. There's not much else he can do. And I'm not blaming him for what else he cannot do, but he can't do what maybe I need to do. Now, if a white guy gets beat up like that, I'll protest. I'm retired. I can protest. I can sacrifice to be protest. And I feel, but I was around when Rodney King got beat up.
No, I hear you, and we're getting, that's a little further afield. The point is, Carson and Ertz, with their large platforms, made a decision that at other times, I'll tell you what, when Malcolm Jenkins spoke up, there were a lot of people who were mad. Malcolm Jenkins is beloved, but there's a lot of people, oh, shut up, Malcolm. There are people who, there was a certain percentage of people that were mad because he was the reason the Eagles didn't go to the White House. There was all, he was, for some reason, as much as he was beloved, there was still a section of people that made him polarizing because he spoke his mind.
Yes.
And I'm trying to just figure out if there are people out there who look at Wentz and Ertz and think, oh no, they shouldn't have talked about that. No, they should stay about, they should just be focused on playing football and winning another Super Bowl.
Well, and it's, it's interesting to me because this is kind of, this is what Malcolm was talking about all along.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
So it's kind of like if you were one of those people who was so adamant that he not speak up against the, speak up against this, now you have Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz doing it, who generally stay quiet about these types of things. Mm-hmm. Is that okay now? Is that okay though? You know, right. It's okay. Is that okay now?
And it's a maturation process for Carson Wentz because Torrey Smith, obviously former Eagle, says Carson has been listening to his teammates. He said this is what Torrey Smith said, had an open ear from the very beginning, like all the time, and hadn't spoken out. So either this event changed him, or he now feels mature enough in his own skin, or whatever it was, this is a different step for him because he's never came out against his teammates that were protesting and Malcolm with the fist. And Chris Long used to be the guy who was the vocal, like, white ally.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he was.
Yeah.
And I think Carson, I don't know if he sensed that there was a void in the locker, whatever it was, something was different this time. And I think it's a positive change, but I don't, well, I, you know what? I shouldn't assume. I'll just find out what the people think about that.
Yeah.
I won't use Twitter because I'm not going to use Twitter as a
disgusting place.
I'm not going to use that cesspool as a thing to think. But I want to know, is there, I don't know about that, man. Wait for all the facts. Don't watch the video and use your eyes. Just wait and see. Like, there's always that out there normally. But I should not make any, I'm not going to make any presumptions.
Right.
That people dictate.
One thing that I thought of was, remember Malcolm Jenkins just had the poster, right?
Yeah.
He said, you're not listening, right?
Right.
He would not speak to the media. He literally had the you're not listening
because
poster.
He said they weren't listening when he was, when
he was talking.
Right. And I'm afraid that there were people that were like, oh, here he goes again, right? You know what I mean? Like, here's a guy who really believes in social injustice and he's trying to speak, but like, you know, it's just Malcolm Jenkins. That's what he does. But now Carson Wentz.
Right.
Someone who hasn't done that.
No.
A white man.
From North Dakota.
From North Dakota. Now speaks.
Yeah.
And now hopefully, listen, there's still going to be people, right, that are like, oh, shut up, Carson, stick to sports.
Right.
But hopefully that message from Carson opens up for some people that they go, all right, this is, wow, I should think differently because somebody that looks like me has spoken out.
And the
like
goal
that.
And the goal isn't to attack other people, it's to educate other people
on the
problem at hand.
Right. About the problem at hand and just how I have to move around in life to make myself feel safe versus how Andrew or Natalie's a little different because it's women also have to move differently.
Oh yeah.
Women absolutely have to move differently. All three of us have to move differently to feel safe.
Yeah.
In society.
Yes.
And people might think that I'm joking about that. No, it's a real thing.
No, it's real.
It's a real thing.
You know, you go for jogs every morning.
Yeah.
If one person decides that they didn't like that you were running by your house, what has happened in the last couple weeks, we saw what happened.
Right.
Shot dead in the going for a run. I have to move. If I'm walking down a street at night and I'm wearing a dress, that I have to be very careful because someone could potentially attack me. And, you know, the line of questioning was, why are you wearing a jacket? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's the stuff that you and I that's how we have to move.
Have to move.
In America.
And that does not mean, and I don't want to make it clear, that doesn't mean that doesn't mean Andrew's life's easy. That doesn't mean Andrew has no problems.
I also have an open mind, and I totally understand.
That's all it is.
Like, understand.
Because people use certain words, and they say, oh, man, I work for everything I didn't suggest you weren't a hard worker.
Right.
I didn't suggest that you didn't have trials and tribulations or a broken home or whatever other challenges that your life had. Life is difficult, period.
Yeah.
It's different.
For everyone.
Right. Life is difficult, period. Period.
Right.
It's different kinds of difficulties, and your difficulties may be different than the other person's difficulties, so respect their challenges so they can also respect your challenges.
Yeah, and
because they're not the same challenges.
Yeah, and the goal, and I think again with Carson's message and what he said is it's really trying to put yourself in the shoes of somebody else and understand what it is that they're fighting and how to not be complicit in it. That's essentially what he's saying. He's saying this. I'm learning here, and I'm learning about what this problem is, and I've learned enough to this point now where I feel socially obligated to say, you know what, I don't want to live in this. I don't want to live in this America where this is happening.
Yeah, and I'm super impressed with them. K Stan in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing today?
What's going on, buddy?
All right, I was calling in because I didn't have an issue with. Well, let me start by saying I haven't heard the Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz interview yet. So I don't know what happened.
It was a statement on social media. I just didn't want to read the whole statement. It's available.
Oh.
NBC Sports Philadelphia, Dave Zingaro had a story with both statements in it. If you want to go check that out, it's on their individual Twitter. So they put it out. I didn't want to read the statements, but they both made statements on social media.
Not a problem. Let me just get to my point before you guys get going. The thing is, I was calling because I don't understand the issue that everyone has with us bringing up issues with. And I'm a black man, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why it's such an issue for Sports America to find it a problem with the people that's involved with sports having a real humane issue in life. And the thing is, I feel as though a lot of times, if it's anything contrary to a black man saying that we're being judged unaccordingly,
mm-hmm.
it's acceptable. But when it's us talking about something that, I mean, we just want to live, feel as though, I mean, the terror that a black man experiences by just simply being pulled over by a officer for a routine traffic stop is really terrifying. I don't think a lot of people understand or grasp the concept of me fearing for my life because I may have missed a stop sign. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
So the thing is, what I'm saying is that I feel as though it's really inappropriate for people, because I tuned in yesterday. This is what I really called. I tuned in yesterday and I heard you on the radio, and I was let me tune in on what happened. I came in on the part that you were speaking on this subject, but you had to basically cut off because you were like, well, this is sports radio. We have to deal with sports radio. And it was kind of offensive to me. And I felt as though, like, not to say that you're not supposed to talk about sports radio, but I don't feel as though that everyone looks at it differently. Like when the Mike Vick thing happened, when the dogs were being mutilated and everything,
mm-hmm.
it was allowed to be spoken on for weeks, months, even years.
But that was because he was partially an athlete, and you're not wrong. But I have to also recognize reality. I live in a society. See, if it was up to me, I would talk about a lot of things that might not fit this particular format. If it was just up to me, I have to also recognize that there's a certain amount of people that just want to see athletes go dance for them.
Yeah,
they're trained seals to them. Now they maybe don't think that intentionally.
Yeah,
but they at the end of the day, they just want their athlete to show up, put the uniform on, go play, go home, and shut up.
I think
entertain me. And they don't look at them as a layered human being. And I have to, and there's also a certain amount of people who listen to this format to get away from the heaviness of life. The issue is, for me today, is Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz, they brought the heaviness of life to the sports arena by making these statements.
Well, and I think that there's time, you know, there's things happen for a reason in the way that things unfold. It's interesting that, you know, dealing with this pandemic, realizing, and they've clichedly said it's a great equalizer, right? So
yeah.
It's kind of, everybody has kind of been stripped of whatever it is their profession is in a way.
Except for MLB owners.
Well, except for MLB owners. Mm-hmm. But everybody's kind of been stripped of their identity behind their profession.
Right.
In my opinion. I think that that's what this pandemic has done to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, okay, so now we're all just people living in the society trying to deal with a pandemic. And now you're just becoming aware of the plight that's happening.
Yeah, I do think that.
Because it's not, we're not really, at least for me.
You can't turn away from this one.
No, you can't turn away from this one. And you're not, it's not really about athletes or sports radio personalities or bankers or mechanics. Like this is like a person issue. Like this is about
right.
people.
Right. And
in this country. This is about living here.
And even if rich people have passed away from this epidemic, this pandemic as well. It's not like I don't want any owners to get it, but it wouldn't save them either. Like their billions wouldn't save them from this virus, and even in that particular case. So
that, and we're all trying to fight to stay alive for this virus, and then on top of it, we're fighting just to stay alive in general.
Yeah,
people are fighting to stay alive in general, just to walk down the street.
610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. 610-632-0975. It's on me. I forgot to open the Twitter poll, and that is brought to you by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Need a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment? Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with safe contactless pickup in Doylestown.
Thanks, Ty. Today's poll, over 1,400 votes on this one. Has your opinion of Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz changed because they spoke out? 17% say yes, 83% say no. A lot of the comments are saying yes positively. In a positive sense. So
in a positive sense. Yeah. So most people aren't against them, not just the
other people are accusing us of race baiting, but okay.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I knew this was going to happen. I knew this was going
to
happen.
You're inviting race baiting people to add fuel to the fire. That's adding fuel to the fire, not people dying senselessly.
No. And this is a thing I want to wrap my mind around. I understand that people come here for an escape. I understand. I said that in the beginning, and I did bring up the Roy Holiday situation, and we do have a caller on hold. We'll get to John in a second, who wants to talk about that. I brought up separate tracks of things that are happening in the city of Philadelphia. This is what people then reacted to. I'm a prisoner to the people. The people dictate the content of the show. If people wanted to talk about darts, you know what we talk about?
Darts. Are you good at darts?
No.
No,
I don't play enough to be good.
I have a dartboard in my car if you want it.
Really?
My wife doesn't want me to put it anywhere in the house, so it's just still in my car.
I moved
months ago. I just have a dartboard in my car.
Man, that's tough. No, I don't play enough to be good.
Right.
Same with pool.
Yeah.
I don't play enough.
I
was a shark.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You're good at pool?
A long time ago.
Someone said my hands are like too small because I can't move the stick. You know what I mean?
And be careful. You don't want to get dropped.
I'm trying to. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You have to be able to like move the stick to get the ball in, to get the ball in the hole, in the corner pocket. Darts? Darts, anyone?
Hello.
All right. don't say I didn't warn you. Kevin Galloway, you're a 97.5 Fanatic.
Hey, Tyrone, how you doing?
What's up, Kevin?
I wanted to talk about the 82-83 76ers and Dr. J, but I'm not, because this is more important. Like I said before, I've been a Carson Wentz fan since day one. I'm not surprised about him speaking up, mm-hmm. and Zach Ertz. Carson, just watching his press conference, the things that he was doing outside of football,
mm-hmm.
Those type of things. You know, being a Christian man, I knew that this was a good guy.
Right.
And all that talk about, you know, the Jalen Hurts trading and all that, I just knew that was just talk. And Carson's going to be here for a long time. He is a franchise quarterback.
Real fast, Kevin. I do think this kind of thing, I know race, blah, 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 this man chose to speak out. I just think there's no way it doesn't have an impact on the locker room. It just, there's just no way. And it's in a way that hurts. And don't get me wrong. Hurts, if he feels the, if it's in his heart to speak, he should speak out or do whatever he feels comfortable. He's a young rookie.
Right, right. Right.
But I can't help but think if this knock on Carson not connecting with guys and stuff like that, if that stuff is true, I can tell you, as a black human being, it made me like him more. And there's no way there are other players in that locker room who say, you know what? This guy has my back. And that makes a difference. We want your coworkers. And again, football's a job. You want the guy you're sharing space with to truly have your back in a real way.
Right.
And he's proven to have his guy's back in a real way.
He's a franchise quarterback on the field, and now he's showing he's a franchise quarterback off the field.
Absolutely, Kevin. Absolutely, Kevin. And I think that this, that's why I think it's a big deal. There is a sports component to this. This, to me, is a first step of him becoming a better leader. Because there will be some backlash. If people are mad at me for bringing it up, you know, just bringing up what he actually said, you know there's people mad that he actually said it.
Yeah.
If they're mad that I brought up that he said it. So there's going to be societal backlash, I mean, that, and once again, he'll do what he always does. He'll brush it off and just rise above it. That's what this guy does. That's one thing I say about him. He brushes stuff off and just rises above it. Maybe it's a little annoying sometimes because I want him to get mad. But that's not who he is.
But this is a sign of emotion, I think, that we've been waiting for, just to see that side of him.
Right.
We've been waiting to see something, and this was a little bit of that something.
The fact that at the end of the statement, I'll read this part at the end, he says, so this might seem like a ramble, which tells me if you're editing it on the fly, that's not in there. And perhaps it is. I don't understand the society that we live in that doesn't value all human life. It's heartbreaking and disturbing. My prayers go out to every man, woman, and child that has to endure the effects of racism in our society. That's a person speaking. And don't get me wrong, there are people I saw on social media don't like that he uses religion. While he always says my prayers, that's who he is, though.
Yeah.
He should be who he is. That sounded to me like Carson Wentz speaking.
Yes.
Not a pastor speaking.
Or
a priest speaking.
Or trying to get his message out there using Bible quotes, which he does.
Right.
And that's nice. But this is, it connects a little bit more because it's not hidden in, you know, kind of biblical terminology, if that makes sense.
We all can understand what he said.
Yes.
Each and every one of us. And I'm impressed with the guy right now.
Yeah.
More, as much as I was during that Super Bowl run before he got hurt against the Rams. I'm that impressed with what he came out and said. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's going on, John?
I'm here to talk about darts.
Yeah, what's up, buddy? Who's the best who's the best darts player in the Philadelphia area?
I am.
There you go.
Nah, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But I called to talk about Roy Halladay.
Yeah.
And, I'm a fellow, I guess, alcoholic with him.
I got you. I think he had other issues, but go ahead.
Exactly. And that's why I'm saying alcohol, because that's the fellowship I choose to follow. Of course, I've used other substances, but we won't get into that. But I'm going to try to twist this all together, because it's like, I mean, in the past, sports was sports, but today, kids, I'm 33 years old, we put sports to such a high pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you see these kids walking around schools with jerseys on. They're not wearing, like, politician jerseys. So when you see Holiday, who's in recovery, like, you put him on such a high pedestal, but you bring the human aspect out of him. Just like Carson Wentz, you think he's a perfect guy, he's a great quarterback, but you bring the human aspect out of it, where, you know what, he's being vulnerable right now, where he's like, you know what, I can't relate to these people, and a lot of us can, you know what I mean?
Yeah, now let me ask you, Roy, let me ask you, John, about Roy Halladay. He went to rehab, apparently. I was reading the story. I'm going to watch the Sixers NBA Finals Game 7 in DVR, and then after watch the E60 on Roy Halladay. But he went to rehab a couple times, but his wife mentioned in some of the things that have been leaked out that he was embarrassed for people to know that he didn't want people to know that he needed help. And as a person who's in recovery, why are you comfortable admitting on the radio, I mean, no, we can't see you, but admitting on the radio and TV that you needed help, and why would somebody else feel uncomfortable admitting that they need help? What do you think, John, since you're in recovery?
well, I'm going to be honest, this is tough for me to do this. And also, John isn't my real name. It's not about comfortable. It's more about the anonymity of it. Mm-hmm. But to be honest with you, like, that's why I give him so much credit, because one of the hardest things for me was to ask, as a man, another grown-ass man, like, I need help. Like, yeah. we're not supposed to ask that. So for him being...
But see, that's wrong, like, John. That's wrong, John. And I'm not saying that your feelings are wrong. How you feel is how you feel. You're wrong in that we have to evolve to the point where it is okay for a grown-ass man to ask another grown-ass man for help. We have to get to the point where that is okay, that that's not frowned upon, because that status quo hasn't worked. That's not working. That machismo, I'm this and that, I'm big and bad stuff, doesn't work. It doesn't.
It doesn't fix any of the problems.
No, and what it appears...
It makes the problems worse.
And it appears with Roy Holiday, and we know now the official, people got mad when the official circumstances of his death came out. Oh, we knew this years ago, but we didn't know just what was his system and all the severity of that. And that's part of the reason why we're doing this, because apparently his wife wanted there to be a more complete story and didn't want people just saying, oh, he was a drug addict. He was much more than that. There's nothing wrong with needing help. Nothing wrong with we all need help at times. As tough as 2020 has been for the world, my 2019 was far worse.
Oh, my goodness.
Far worse.
Yeah.
If I didn't have my family and my wife, if I didn't have my support system in my life, I would have needed professional help.
Yeah.
The only reason I did not, and this is any strength, it's because I was blessed with a tremendous family of the people remaining. My siblings, my father, my grandmother, my uncles, aunts, my cousins are all tight. We're a close family. But we needed each other, because we were all going through loss. We all needed to help one another. And there's nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with needing help. And that's one thing that the holiday thing we have to keep with. There's nothing wrong with asking for help.
Yeah.
We have to evolve beyond that. All right, 610-632-0975. Everybody on the lines, I'll try to get to you as quick as I can. On the other side, we'll talk to the great Mark Zumoff about the big special on NBC Sports Philadelphia coming up. They're going to show all four games this weekend of the 1983 Sixers final. So it'll be deja vu, reminiscing for some people. And some people will be seeing these games for the first time. I'm excited about it. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.